You thought Millard, Kiprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Nobody does it better. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Wrapping up the week on Hockey Central at noon ahead of a very busy night for Sportsnet. Toronto Maple Leafs at Carolina Hurricanes. You have the Calgary Flames at home to the Chicago Blackhawks. Edmonton hosting the New Jersey Devils in Montreal. And the New York Islanders part of tonight's schedule in the NHL. Today on Hockey Central at noon, we will acknowledge an historic performance by Alexander Ovechkin, as well as Crosby and Malkin turning things around for the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Ottawa Senators. Where are they in their program's development? A little different opinion when you look at the record as opposed to just taking in what you've seen so far. Darren Millard with John Shannon and Colby Armstrong on this Friday, November 20th. Gentlemen, we will also chat about what we learned this week in the NHL, which is brought to you by Boston Pizza. So get your ideas going. You're thinking?
For Boston Pizza food?
No.
No.
Oh,
for what you, food. What you learned in the NHL this week. You're thinking menu.
I was like finger cooking here in my head.
Tell them to buy more time if you're going to talk like that, all right?
Toronto Maple Leafs, it's game day. Seriously. On Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. The Leafs in Carolina. Game starts at 7 o'clock. Hockey Central pregame show at 6:30. Joined by Nick Kiprios and Ellie Friedman in that one. The Leafs are playing game 20 tonight. Who's been their best player through the first quarter of the season? John?
Leo Komarov. I think he's certainly been their most consistent. Maybe their most surprising. But at the same time, with the amount of minutes he does or doesn't get, I think that he's probably been their most consistent. I don't think there's, I mean, when you look at the ups and downs, particularly the first half of the 20 games where there wasn't really much to smile about, Komarov was one of those guys that was doing what was expected of him, and he's continued it during this little bit of a, what would you describe it as, a winning streak? I guess you do.
Good run.
Yeah, it is.
Six goals, three assists for Leo Komarov.
I like how they use him, though. He's a good complimentary player. He plays hard. He does his job. He can play with the, you know, their players, make plays, gets to the net, pain in the butt. Yeah. And he complements those guys with his game. And, you know, he's effective at what he does also. But noticeable player for them.
Smart enough to understand what Babcock wants out of him, whether it's to, you know, that little nudge of interference or that the work in the corner. And I think that not that there was needed to be buy-in, but I think he understood quicker and better than a few of the guys what Babcock wanted.
I like Morgan Rielly too. I think he's just huge upside, obviously, as a young guy, but his skating, his smarts, his skill level.
Everybody talks about him in the sense of the future, but the present, you would put him as their best player so far?
I'd probably lean more towards John's. I like him.
Good job, Komarov. If you're watching, way to go, Leo. Well,
Rielly's minutes are over 22 a game.
Yeah.
He's leading the team in point production this year. He's a player
he's a good player.
Has rope with the coaching staff, but hasn't fallen into that funk that Jake Gardner did early in his career.
But I look at the Leaf defense, and I see a lot more patience by this coaching staff, particularly, you know, Babcock and Hiller, with Rielly, with Gardner, and with Phaneuf. I truly believe that that there's the works in progress that these guys are, and that even includes Dion as a work in progress, because I think Mike's doing a lot more to make him.
They're building them up.
Yeah,
they're building their guys up. I think it's been a tough few years.
Putting him in the right position. Not overplaying him. Not, you know, he doesn't play the most ice time anymore.
Nobody's. He's getting closer to that.
Yeah, but I think
that gap's closed.
I think that they're in a position right now where those three defensemen are really getting a lot of benefit of the doubt and trying to understand what Babcock wants of them. And I think for the most part, of late, it's working.
You've seen a progression in Dion Phaneuf from the start of the season to game 19. Whether you want to call it a build-up, as
but, well, they were trying to. They're trying to run. He was like people were trying to run him out of town last year.
But those are fans.
I mean, yeah,
fans,
I know, but it's still it's hard on a player when you're a player and you're feeling that. That's hard. And I think Babcock's done a good job.
The Leafs came close, Colby, to sending him out of town.
But he's done a good job throughout the year at building him up. You know, it's hard when you go through a year like that. It's hard. I've gone through with injuries and you feel useless. He's gone through it on the other side with the fans. You know, really coming down on the team. He's the captain. He has a lot on his plate. And they've done a good job at building
him. I'm worried you may get hurt during the show.
But it could happen.
But remember Babcock's history. I mean, for instance, there was a guy that was that had a lot of notoriety coming out of the draft and playing in San Jose and playing in Boston, Brad Stewart. And I'll tell you what, Mike Babcock made Brad Stewart a better hockey player. Because he made him play a certain way. And in many ways, I see what Babcock did with Brad Stewart with the Red Wings and potentially what they're trying to do in rebuilding and in many ways making Dion play a simpler game. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether there's a little book that Mike works with and says, these are the five things you have to do as a defenseman. And Dion, don't do items 7 through 12. Do the first five. And then we'll talk about doing
a toolbox.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a good word. I think that they're probably working with Dion, and I think it's made Dion more confident. I think it's made his game on the ice simpler, and
comfortable.
I don't think he's making the outrageous, most obvious mistakes that everybody used to be able to say. What is Dion doing? Why is he over trying?
The first 10 games, you didn't notice him. Outside of he was taking bad penalties.
Right.
The last 10 games, he started to have more of a presence on the ice, scoring some goals, and the bad penalties have backed off.
Mm-hmm. He's got that presence, that ability where guys know when he's on the ice. He's got that. He's got that big shot. He's got the ability to get that shot.
Often, I tell you what, you don't see that very often because that's not even how this team wants to use the power play anymore.
Right.
I mean, big
shot.
You
do notice him taking a shot away, not shooting, ripping it.
But you don't
every time at the point.
How many times in a Babcock power play are you playing for the deflection?
Yeah.
Well, a big shot really is tough to deflect.
Yeah.
Because it's usually around your shoulders.
Yeah. Well, Dion's are. He gets them off high.
So that whole concept of, hey, listen, this is what you're supposed to be doing. This is how you're supposed to do it. It's much more of a team-oriented style rather than just get up and put your head down and not know where it goes.
Yeah. No, he looks comfortable.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you remember the Dion deflection story? The camp that Hockey Canada had in the summer before the selection of the 2010 team.
Is that the ball hockey tournament?
Nope. Nope.
That was when I was in.
Okay.
The
one at the Saddle Dome. Yeah, I was there.
So at the end of a practice, one of the practices, they decide they're going to work on some tip drills. Guys just screwing around. So Corey Perry goes in front of the net to do a tip drill. The first shot is from Dion.
The glass?
Is from Dion. Off the top of Perry's helmet as he ducks. And Perry's gone. right off the ice.
Seriously.
And out of there.
I used to do that in practice with Dion, too. I'd just be like, the whole time, like, what are you doing? What am I doing? Where's it going? Where's it going? Oh, God, get me out of here.
And what would you say to him? Would you say anything to him?
I would just, like, skate away, like, oh, my God. Like, with my track record there, I was lucky to get out of there alive.
This is a family show.
That's a good point.
Whatever you were saying, it was this is a family show.
I would put Dion in the conversation of most surprising player for the Toronto Maple Leafs on the positive side. There's surprising negative. There's... On the flip side, surprising positive.
And what was the surprising negative?
Jonathan Bernier. You expected him to be a whole lot better. That's being winless at game 20 is shocking. When you're
I heard you earlier in the week defend him, and it was the right thing to do because I think it was 7 goals in 7 games that they scored while he was in goal. I mean, this isn't all on Bernier. You know, this team is the biggest difference. This team has started to score goals in a timely fashion, more so than. And Reimer's been good. I know Reimer's been good, really good. But it's not all on Bernier.
But you can't have an egg out there in your in your win column now at this stage of the season. I understand a slow start. And he was hurt and missed a couple of weeks. But still, so he has enough decisions that he should have a win.
Okay, so you're going Reimer back-to-back, Carolina-Boston?
I would.
Yeah, so would I, but...
Why not?
Particularly with 2 days off.
I don't think they have a choice either. It's what they have to do.
What, this team could potentially, with 3 and 4 games, 3 and 4 days, be a team that's knocking on a playoff position by American Thanksgiving. That's where you judge it, where you have your first real evaluation of a playoff spot.
But if you looked at last year, there was only one team that was in a playoff position mm-hmm. on American Thanksgiving that missed the playoffs.
And that team was?
The Toronto Maple Leafs. So,
but you look at...
And I think they did it 3 of the last 4 years.
So they've got consistency.
Well, they are to a level, a certain point.
So they know that you can come from outside and get in.
Yes, you can. No,
when you look at it another way. No, I think Joffrey Lupul has been a surprise and should be considered as one of your better players for the first 20 games, but more as a surprise because of who he's played with and been able to score those
well,
goals.
Well, and I think that when you have a coach that has, a shelf life of 8 years and he can afford, to me, when you looked at the other night, even against Colorado and the power plays, Peter Holland, Brad Boyce, and Tyler Bozak, and it's successful. And so
tic-tac-toe.
So guys like Lupul and Van Riemsdyk don't even get on the ice for power play time. That's being successful and also sending a message. And I think that's don't you think that's a big part of this?
Yeah, I do.
Say, I'm going to play the right guy. If the guys are going to work, the guys are going to play.
Yeah.
If you don't want to work, you're not going to play.
That's how you win games, too. You're not going to have your best game every night. And I think Babcock's a coach that understands, we got going tonight. If you're going to play, you're going to go. And it's all over the ice. And that's the message. That's the identity of their team.
Do you think Joffrey Lupul would have been disappointed when he was first put with Nick Spaulding and Daniel Winnick? We've heard the stories over the years of Brett Hull saying, can you believe I'm playing with this guy?
Yeah, but
he would say it right in front of, people.
Yeah,
right in front of his line mate.
Could you imagine any Maple Leaf player with Lou Lamoriello and Mike Babcock in the front office speaking out now?
No.
Can you imagine any player?
Not right now.
It's not going to happen.
No, but
it's not going to
just
happen.
The general feeling when you walk in the room and look up.
But do you think?
It's not
an all-star a few years ago.
Yeah.
Do you think you would have been disappointed at first?
No, I think you're just in a position right now where you just go. You got Mike Babcock coming in setting up the lines.
Nobody's ever thought of Joffrey Lupul as a checking player.
No, I'll tell you what though, but in this world he better be. Yeah. And remember this team is still. Like a few teams around the league with new coaches in position, they're still in the as successful as they've been over the last 4 or 5 games. They're still in the evaluation mode. There's still people saying, "Okay, what about this guy? Where does this guy fit? When do we start pulling the trigger to make our team better for the next 2 years?" That will still happen here, Darren. This is not a 1 year wonder situation. This is because I would suggest 3 years from now, you tell me. How many guys on this roster today are on the roster going?
This is
going
a 15-day wonder right now.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, Carolina, Boston, your show Tuesday maybe have a different tone.
Totally different feel. The Carolina Hurricanes have owned Toronto lately. This is the game that you think after everything has gone so well for Toronto, this is a game you will win.
Yeah.
You should win.
Yeah.
But these are two very similar teams right now. One team is trying to provide a little more sizzle in their marketplace and trying to get people in. The other one's acknowledged because of where they are in the National Hockey League hierarchy that they can go out there and rebuild publicly and people will still support them.
One team has money, one team doesn't.
Yeah.
Ron Francis has got a really tough situation and I think he's doing a pretty good job of it when you consider he's been put behind the eight ball a few times.
Darren Millard along with John Shannon and Colby Armstrong here at Hockey Central at noon. It is game day on Sportsnet. Sportsnet 590 The Fan with the Maple Leafs taking on the Hurricanes starting at 7 o'clock. One of a number of games for Sportsnet tonight, including Montreal against the New York Islanders and the return of Carey Price after Montreal lost last night. What are you doing?
Oh, he's writing. He's making it look like he's doing notes and things.
So you were checking. Oh,
I was just looking.
I was just checking what he was doing. You know, it's almost like he's doing homework. It's good.
He's in my kitchen here. John's just all over me. I start calling you Babcock over there.
I've been called worse.
That's a good line.
Yeah, Babcock.
That may stick. Babs. That may stick. But Carey Price, is he back just in time for Montreal?
Yeah, you know. I think Condon's kind of wheels are starting to slide, starting to skid out here. Some weak goals. Last night was a sloppy game, some mm-hmm. sloppy goals in front of the net, bounces, some weird bounces. But, you know, he's done his job for them.
I'm surprised we haven't
he's done
seen
great.
I'm surprised we haven't seen Tokarski.
Tokarski
once.
Me too. Once.
Yeah. I mean, you have a backup goaltender that was not supposed to play more than 20 games probably.
Seriously.
All season long.
Yeah.
And then you string together how many games in a row for him? Why not play Tokarski last night against a Western Conference opponent? Although I thought Arizona, boy, they sure skate different than old Arizona teams.
Yeah, they look good skating, real well skating team. You know, they are funneling pucks at the net like crazy. That Domi's shooting from everywhere.
Yeah. Anthony Duclair.
He's such an edge. He's so fast, Duclair. Man, guys.
Duclair, that was an important game for him.
Yeah, at home.
Going home and having played junior hockey with the Rempire. And I've told friends that work there, they were the worst team to watch in hockey for the last 4 years. They were so hard to watch just because Dave made them. The only way they thought they could win was play a totally defensive plotting style. Now, I mean, I look forward to watching them play. They're fun to watch. Mike Smith's back playing well. Oliver Ekman-Larsson's underappreciated as a defenseman.
7-game point streak, I think he's got.
Botker and Hansel have reemerged as players that can actually make a difference. They've become a team that's fun to watch.
Arizona occupying third place in the Pacific Division right now after 19 games played. For the Canadiens, though, 7-2-2. Without Carey Price,
yeah,
which to me validates their game, their status as much as anything that you can look at.
And without a second line right winger and guys flipping in and out, and I think that's a big issue with them going forward. They need to find some stability on this with Galchenyuk and Eller. Mitchell jumped in their last game. Semin's in and out. They have guys rotating around. It's thank goodness they have that Desharnais line flying though.
Well, the difference in tempo between what you describe as their first line and their fourth line, there's not much difference in tempo. I mean, yeah. when the fourth line's skating, you're going, wow, they're fast too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And that's really when you can roll those four lines for Terry. And I think that's been a huge advantage for them. You know, I've never been a Semin fan, so it didn't surprise me that didn't work. Was it worth a $1 million gamble? Probably, if you know you have 13 other or 12 other really good forwards that you can pluck in. Paul Byron has played a role since he got picked up on waivers from Calgary. The question will be, and it's hard to imagine we're actually criticizing a team that's 14-4-2. But at the same time,
they have one spot.
Can Marc Bergevin go out and find somebody before the trade deadline, before the end of February, that will actually complement these guys in order to make them really...
He's done a good job in the past doing that.
Well, he has, I'm not trying to be too hard on Mark, but he didn't have a very good summer. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a very good summer when he signed Semin and Cassian and traded Cassian for Prust. So Thomas Fleischmann, though, came out of nowhere for them, and he's done well. Being able to sign him to a PTO. There's lots of good things. So you have to wonder what's up Mark's sleeve before the end of February, because he's in no hurry to do it. And what will he have to give up? I mean, is this where Jared Tenorti finally gets a chance somewhere else to play?
One thing that stuck out to me was Paul Byron did an intermission interview last night. And there's all this talk about goaltending equipment and paring down the shoulder pads and the arm chest protector of goaltenders. Paul Byron, I'm watching, and I think you guys came back and did something on it during the intermission, Colby, because his shoulder pads...
They were huge.
It was unbelievable.
I couldn't believe it. Could you believe it?
No, I thought... Actually, I was watching the interview going,
Is a goalie?
It's just shoulder pads eye, like, that big.
Is a goalie doing an intermission interview?
Was that like a wide lens camera? Or I don't know how that how it looked like that. It, like, I don't know. You need another hockey bag for a shoulder pad.
We were back. It looked like we were back to the Donzies, though.
Yeah, and then we actually showed it last night with a shoulder pad. And then we showed Wayne Gretzky in the dressing room with his jersey off, his tiny little Wayne Gretzky, like
the old
school.
The caps?
The caps.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, it's incredible.
But when you're Paul Byron.
He's a small guy to begin with.
He's a small guy, you know, so maybe they've just felt that he needed to, you know, have a little more protection the way he's playing the game right
yeah.
now.
I pack a little more punch. Followed up on it. Alexander Ovechkin, he finally scores the goal.
Finally.
To pass Sergei Fedorov. It comes in a losing effort, although Washington is still having a great start to the to the season. But Alexander Ovechkin gets this this milestone goal, and now you start talking about him. Now that he's entered this area, the greatest goal scoring Russian of all time. About where he ranks over the course of hockey history.
Well, hey, listen, we should be talking about in the, let's say, first week in March about the 500 goal milestone. We should be talking about then when he's, you know, 15 goals behind. And Caps fans, don't tweet, well, he'll score them in the next 15 games. He might. But, you know, I mean, the 500 milestone is bigger for me than this one. But at the same time, when you look at the last 10 years, has there been a greater goal scorer? No, there hasn't been a greater goal scorer in the game of hockey. And really, in many ways, it's a better indication of me how the game has changed, is mm-hmm. that, you know, the European influence, the American influence. You know, there's lots of people out there saying, well, what's changed in the game of hockey since the 70s? 95% of the kids playing the NHL in 1975 were Canadian. You know, it's the Americans who have the American influence of the game, the European influence of the game. I think the Europeans now are about 35% of the talent pool, and Alex Ovechkin is at the top of that talent pool. It's
fantastic. And of all the great Russian players, too, it's pretty incredible
already
at the amount of games he's played to have that many goals. Of all those great players, like I had Sergei Fedorov. My brother had his posters up in the room. He was a big Detroit fan, and I like seeing him skate and everything. It was like bigger than life, and now Ovechkin's just blown it out of the water.
Memory serves me, Sergei Fedorov set the record that Ovechkin broke, set the record against the Dallas Stars with an assist from Nick Backstrom.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so last night, Alex Ovechkin scores against the Dallas Stars on an assist, a beautiful pass from Nick Backstrom.
That was a great little player.
And he's learned, I do think in the last 2 years, he's learned to play a team game. Mm-hmm. Which will make him even that more valuable.
As we approach the 500 goal mark for Alexander Ovechkin, does your thinking on a complimentary side increase even more, Colby, because he's done it in this era? He's been helped out by some rule changes that have opened up the game, but it was nothing like it was before.
No. Yeah, I know. It's amazing to think, really, hey? Like, I thought about that the other day. Like, he's doing this, guys are getting, you know, complaining about not scoring enough goals, and he just keeps ticking along and putting up the goals that he's putting up year after year, even when it's harder than most. I don't know. It's next level.
I mean, Russians weren't in the NHL during the roaring 80s when goal scoring was at its highest of all time.
And he's had his moments also with his play throughout the years where it's been questioned, and his leadership and everything.
And justifiable,
yeah. But just to see him, his steps that he's taken as he's gotten older to the player he is now and continuing to score, it's mind-boggling how he can put it in like that.
And as great an individual player, this is a team that's never got, you know, in his time, never got to the conference final, mm-hmm. never got to the Stanley Cup final. And
To get to a Stanley Cup final if you never get to a conference final.
Yeah.
I don't think the rules prohibit you from doing that.
You can tell it's weighing on him, I think, to get there.
I think I'm weighing on John.
I think I'm... same. John needs like double hammers. Yeah, just like,
Johnny's not in a very good spot right now.
Whack-a-mole.
Babs is in a bad spot.
Yeah. Well, all I'm saying is, because I'm going to try to get back on track. Is that okay? You too, Lugans. Is that at what point do you take all the individual accolades and say, oh, hold on, though. He came to the National Hockey League to do one thing, and that was to win the Stanley Cup. At what point does that become a factor? That to me has always been the most important thing, is to, you know, how do you contribute to your team to mm-hmm. win the ultimate prize? And then if somebody says, well, the Stanley Cup's not important, let's talk about Olympic gold. It's even more emphatic that he still has a ways to go when you consider, I mean, remember how embarrassing Vancouver was. And I would suggest, and having not been in Sochi, the pressure and the embarrassment of the way they finished in Sochi.
Mm-hmm. He came. Jimmy Rutherford's coming on. We'll take a break then. Pittsburgh Penguin general manager Jim Rutherford coming on.
Does he only come on after wins?
I think so. Okay. Timing's right on that one. As Ovechkin will always be connected with Crosby and Malkin. We'll talk to the general manager of Sydney and of Jenny next on Hockey Central, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet, and the NHL Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We are back here at Hockey Central at noon. Darren Millard along with Colby Armstrong and John Shannon. We'll get to the things we learned this week in the NHL, brought to you by Boston Pizza, in just a little bit. But first, here's the general manager of the Pittsburgh Penguins. So, Jimmy, since you sat down with Malkin and told him, just say it was lost in translation on the comments last week, your team's on the roll. Is that the way it went?
Well, we played better this week. I mean, we did have a couple of games, especially the game in New Jersey, where there was a little lack of effort. But we've gotten back on track now. Clearly Gino has spoken by his actions in the last few games.
That 4-point game was quite something when you consider what he did the Tuesday night game. He just seemed to take the team on his back and allowed everybody to enjoy the ride.
Yeah, but he didn't have a lot of passengers that night. I mean, our team really responded. I thought everybody played well. Gino was the guy that was putting the points up. Everybody played well. With Sid not getting any points that night, it was unfortunate because he was one of the best players on the ice also with his two-way game.
How often have you talked to Sid one-on-one through the course of the first quarter point of the season regarding his play, his production, and where he's at mentally about the confidence?
Well, I don't talk to guys about their production. I mean, I'm really here to support guys when necessary, and you know, I haven't talked to Sid any more than anybody else. I mean, periodically I'll talk to guys about little things, but he's a guy that I think, as we all know, is under a microscope. He hasn't produced the points that he has in the start of the season like he has in other seasons. But overall, I really believe his game's been good. And the points will come for him. So it's not something that I'm concerned about, maybe as much as some other people. And I know that he's used to getting points, and he'd like to get more, but that'll come.
Jim Rutherford, general manager of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Hockey Central with Darren Millard, John Shannon, and Colby Armstrong.
Jimmy, your team is 12-7. But it's absolutely amazing with as well as your team has played at times this season. There's always seems to be some talk about instability in the front office. Mike Johnson is always on a short leash. How do you react to all this stuff?
I don't, because I'm not the one saying it, so I'm not going to react to it.
How do you analyze your team's first quarter, though?
I would say that if our power play had produced the way it should, and I'm not even saying at a high percentage rate, just at an average percentage rate, we probably win two or three more games at this point. People really wouldn't be asking us about our record. But we're a team that has played okay at times. I think we have another level or two to that we can take our game to. And at some point in time, it'll get to that. We're right in the mix with everybody else right now. We'd like to be doing a little bit better. But we have a team that can.
Jim Rutherford, former goaltender in the National Hockey League. When Marc-Andre Fleury got the stick through the cage the other day, a lot of people, including us, really commended him for going off, getting the stitches, coming back, and finishing the game. But you used to wear the old mask, and I mean, you didn't think that was anything special, did you?
Well,
I'm sure he was
more
nervous.
Concerned about the fact that the stick went through the mask. I mean, I the way they make things now, I don't think that should happen. But it was impressive that, you know, I mean, he had a little bit of a scare there. I think initially there was a little bit of shock when that stick got through there. He went right off the ice, settled himself down, and came back.
With hey Jim, it's Colby. With the injury to Mata, you got some guys down in the system, and is this an opportunity maybe to give some of those guys a shot, Pouliot and other guys to come in and possibly see what they have?
Well, we'll see. I mean, we have a lot of good players in Wilkes-Barre. That team's 12-1 now, and I think it's a matter of what we're trying to do there. Like, we made a mistake with Pouliot last year after him coming off shoulder surgery. He should have played more in the minors and got his confidence. So I'm going to be a little more cautious with him. He's playing well now. We brought Wierzowski up. He was playing extremely well, but what it does do is it gives Clendenning a chance to get in. He had only played one game up until the last couple. He's had a couple of good games for us. So yeah, we'll get to see some guys that we wouldn't normally see. I'm hoping that Ole's injury is not going to linger on. He's a guy that usually heals pretty quick and anxious to get back, so hopefully he's back sooner than what the projection is.
The other guy that I think people are wondering about is Daniel Sprong, and does it make any sense, even after the 10-game mark, does it make any sense for him to go back to the island? Have you given that any more thought, or is he just better off being around the big club?
Well, right now, this is the best place for him. He's had a little bit of flu here the last 4 or 5 days and hasn't been in the lineup, but it's all about development for him, and can he help the Penguins? And he's a guy that goes to the net. He's got a shot, a good shot. He's going to be able to score some goals for us. But we'll kind of keep an eye on this as we go along. It's not a week-to-week thing. If he has to go back to junior at some point in time, we'll deal with that. But right now we see him as a guy that can still help the Penguins, and it's the best place for his development.
You guys have done a disservice to the National Hockey League in the sense that I want to see more of your games go to overtime. I want to see your guys in this is 3-on-3 more often.
Well, I'm with you. I mean, except watching my own team because then, it's a little more stressful. But I like the overtime format. We've done well with it so far. I prefer to win in regulation and watch other teams in overtime.
Yeah, that's. You guys went to overtime against Montreal, and watching those guys 3-on-3 and then the power play throughout. Now the NHL's gone to it with the All-Star game. You on board with 3-on-3 tournament?
I think it's worth a try. I mean, we've all seen the All-Star games over the years. I mean, this just hasn't happened in the last few years. It's not your real hockey game. There's no body contact or anything. So going to a format like the 3-on-3, I mean, that's not a real hockey game either, but it may create more interest and more entertaining where you got a little tournament going.
12-7, record so far this year, 24 points, third place in the Metropolitan Division. Congratulations on the start, and we can assume that it's going to get better. Thanks for this, Jimmy.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Jim Rutherford, general manager of the Pittsburgh Penguins, who kept hearing they weren't happy about their play.
Yeah.
But the record's there.
I know, and that's it's one of those things. There were, when the season started, there were question marks about who was, you know, was Claude Julien long-term in Boston? Was Daryl Sutter long-term in Los Angeles? Was Mike Johnston long-term in Pittsburgh? Daryl Sutter's team is leading his division. Claude Julien's team's at 500, and Mike Johnston's team, all it does is win. It's mm-hmm. not as fun to watch as it was the run-and-gun stuff that the Penguins have been for years, but all they seem to do is win at the right time.
Yeah, I thought his assessment also of his team was bang on. You know, they've been getting good goaltending, and their power play, for whatever reason.
Why is that?
It's unbelievable.
You've played
too many setup guys, maybe? I don't know. It's a crazy thing to see this much firepower, this much potential and skill.
Then you throw in Phil Kessel.
Yeah.
And now you've got your trigger guy.
Yeah, it's just... I'm sure it has them scratching their head. I think they all probably need to be a little more selfish, all of them. I think you see, you know, Malkin taking the bull by the horns and going, yeah, he takes it. He's a horse that carries the load up the middle. He wants to go with it all the time, and he makes things happen. But I think when you get in that specialty power play situation with the guys they have, and, you know, they got a lot of good guys in their spots, in their certain spots, and maybe some guys have gotten shuffled around and, you know, getting used to different situations and finding those little switch plays and little magic that they can make. You know, it's a specialty thing with the power play with those guys, and it's science. But they, yeah, for whatever reason, getting wins without that power play clicking, like Jim said, is
a lot's gone against them.
Mm-hmm.
So now,
what's gone against
them? Well, the power play?
Well, okay.
Sydney not scoring. Malkin wasn't exactly scoring.
But
Chris
Letang's
off to a really rocky start.
Yeah.
Fleury's played really well.
That's
really well.
But with so much going against them, they're still really in a good position.
I agree with you completely, but you also look at every team makes changes and it takes more than 19 games for teammates to adjust to each other, I would think. When you look at least, you know, Kessel, Bonino, Cullen, Fair, Sprong, and all, isn't that there's enough chemistry change in that alone, particularly when you know that, you know, I would suggest that with Phil there, that's a change in direction in so many ways from how this team has played. And then when you put two veteran centermen in there like Cullen and Bonino, that changes a lot of chemistry.
Yeah, they showed the differences in the team from last year to this year, the amount of players that have swapped and come in.
Yeah.
And it looked like the movie credits in Star Wars. It was for a team. It was amazing.
Looking forward
to
Star Wars.
So that's quite a big difference for a team when you have that, and only being this many games.
And by the way, and if you in talking to Jim every time, he says, and you know, our job is to win now. When we talked about Carolina building and Toronto building, the Pittsburgh Penguins' job is to win right now. So
there's a few teams in that mold.
Yeah,
Rangers, Washington, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
All built to win right now.
Yeah.
Things we learned this week in the NHL brought to you by Boston Pizza. Order online for delivery. Boston Pizza will make you a fan. Things we learned this week in the NHL. Let's start with Colby Armstrong. What did you learn?
I learned don't put a microphone in front of Malkin's mouth or he's going to absolutely light the world on fire. It's nice to hear him do interviews. When I played with him, he couldn't speak English at all. He didn't do them. And now he's speaking his mind and... obviously lost in translation a bit.
Do you think it was lost in translation?
But the fire that he came out with, he talked the talk and he walked the walk. I don't think it was. I think he wanted to get his team fired up. I think he was looking for a change. I think they all were upset after that game. And I think it's normal, but he responded and he put on a show.
I learned the Tampa Bay Lightning can actually still play the same way they got to the Stanley Cup Final last year, and I saw it last night against the New York Rangers. It wasn't the prettiest game, but at key times, key players came out. Even with all the injuries they got, Tampa played playoff hockey against probably, well, arguably the best team in the Eastern Conference, and that gave them the victory. So I'm not in panic mode when it comes to Tampa Bay and how they're supposed to be ready for the playoffs.
9-9-3 is not where you expect the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Last night, though,
at 21 games.
Last night, it was watching the first and second rounds of the playoffs for me.
Ben Bishop is lights out head-to-head with the New York Rangers, too. It's ridiculous at 9-0. I learned this week that the National Hockey League one of the most traditional. This been criticized over the years as being very slow to react. Went out and pushed the envelope and went to an all-star game that will be 3-on-3 in nature with a 4-team tournament that is nothing that we've ever seen before at an all-star game. And now it's all-star games.
And prize money.
And prize money. So instead of sitting back and waiting for others to lead the way, or to dip your toe in the water and go 4-on-4 with one game, they went all in with a 3-on-3 4-team tournament. And I give them credit
it's
for that.
It's going to be awesome.
For taking a risk that in past years, I don't think you ever would have saw out of this National Hockey
League. By the way, did you see the American League change their format today too? And they're actually going to have a four-division format and do half 4-on-4, half 3-on-3, but much shorter games. Shorter than the 20-minute games. That'll be in Syracuse, New York, as the 80th anniversary celebration of the AHL. So that's kind of cool too.
I think what we might see in that too is the goalies, in that they're going to be getting involved more, coming out. It's going to be a fun format.
Taking risks
because it's going to be different. You're going to see some different things. It's going to be really cool.
I mean, I think the one thing we've learned on 3-on-3 in the NHL in the regular season is the more active the goaltender is, the better chance you have to win. Right, keep the puck moving. And you better chance you have to have that odd man rush.
We're going to see goalies just registering points like mad once they start figuring it out.
You know what? Get rid of the trapezoid now. Put the goaltenders back in play. Get rid of the trapezoid.
In overtime.
No.
Open it up.
Oh, yeah.
In overtime, open it up.
No.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a puck dumped into that corner and just sit there, and the goalie's like, I cannot go get that
thing.
Would
you like to see him go pick it up and wheel it?
Yes.
The goalie?
I would.
I want the goalie to start wheeling, like, stand at the blue line, and while they're making changes, and he's got it. He's like, come get it, buddy. Oh, boom.
You don't think Mike Smith would like that?
Yeah, wouldn't that
Holy
be incredible?
Smokes.
Carey Price for sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Got guys that can do it.
If Carey Price goes to that All-Star game, and he will if he's healthy.
Spinoramas. He's going to be.
I think you'll see him pull a toe drag.
Toe drags. Oh, yeah. He
can Carey do it. Price is the guy that can pull off a toe drag.
Who was that? Patrick Waugh years ago. He came flying out to the blue line, spinorama out to the red line, dangling.
Yes.
That's going to be great. We're going to see it.
I remember Gary Smith in 1975 at Maple Leaf Gardens for the Vancouver Canucks came out and punted the puck at the blue line.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the way you start your little 3-on-3 games.
Dwayne Rollison do that all the time.
Gary Suitcase Smith.
At the end of practice, the goalie kicks the puck and the teams square off instead of having a face-off. He kicked it.
Yeah, it was like a punt. It's like he's playing for the BC Lions or the Argos,
How about or the Detroit hair pads?
Yeah. Well, he was so big. I mean,
strong legs.
Oh, yeah.
That's like Dwayne Rollison. What is he? He throws it up in the air and paddles it out. Doing it at World Championships all the time. I've never seen that before. Some crazy stuff. Go behind the net. More room behind the net. Dwayne Rollison would flip it from behind the net because he had more room way out to center ice over his own net.
He had the back. He had to flip his hand over.
Yeah, pretty nifty thing.
So agree with me getting rid of the trapezoid?
No.
Oh,
goalies can still play the puck.
No, I know.
I just want to
get rid of the trapezoid.
What's your issue with the trapezoid?
First of all, I think it's made the game so much more fast. And when you talk about guys in the corners, boom, with the puck there, I think that the defenseman and the forwards going in for it, I think that the speed has been an issue with that, particularly when they did it at the same time as the red line.
How many goals do you think will be scored in an all-star game under this format, 2 10-minute periods of 3-on-3?
Depends how bad you want to win. Well, if the team wants to win,
yeah,
you can lock down the trap pretty hard.
But I tell you what, though.
But they're not.
No.
20 minutes of 3-on-3. I mean, remember, right now they're paying 20 minutes of 3-on-3 because most teams are only playing 10 or 11 players anyway right now.
Yeah.
And they're exhausted after the 5 minutes. So, yeah, it'll be fascinating to see how the players manage it. And are we going to see, like cycling, where the cyclists slowly go around the track, and then boom!
Is that what I think we'll see a comfort level of guys, though, doing what they would do in the summer. I played in the summer leagues in the summer. I think you'll see
about
the championships, John.
We heard you and Holtby, we're the best. We heard about that.
But you'll see that comfort level. I think we're having fun with it.
The first ever reference to a velodrome on Hockey Central at noon, courtesy of John Shannon. Thanks to Colby Armstrong. We'll chat with you tonight. A busy night in Sportsnet in the National Hockey League. Enjoy.